Right now, we're talking to a reporter about redistricting in Wisconsin. He wrote a piece today about open records requests of lawmakers involved in the redistricting process. He's here to explain what he found.
Our guest is Bill Leaders, reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Bill, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here, Veronica.
Well, the last round of redistricting happened in 2012 under a Republican-controlled legislature. What changed then?
Well, the redistricting, as in the past, has been as partisan as the people doing it can get away with. In this case, because Republicans had both houses of the legislature, they were able to redistrict to their heart's content, which did secure some of their electoral advantages in the state of Wisconsin. And in fact, the Republicans extended their control over the state legislature in both houses in the 2012 elections, even though they received fewer overall votes than did Democratic candidates statewide.
Now, in terms of a redistricting 101, you want to just run us through exactly what redistricting is?
Well, redistricting is the redrawing of voter boundaries, which happens every 10 years after the census. There's nothing illegal about the political party in charge redrawing voter boundaries to its electoral advantage. It's done all the time. It doesn't break any laws unless you redraw the boundaries in a way that disadvantage minority groups, and there's a couple of other caveats. But generally speaking, it's legal to do that, and in places where partisan politicians control the process, that's often what is done. Now, there are other places, like Iowa is the example most commonly cited, where the task of redistricting is done by a nonpartisan service agency, similar to our Legislative Reference Bureau, and they do it without regard for how it benefits or hurts members of individual political parties. So the lines tend to get drawn a little bit cleaner in those places than they do in states like Wisconsin.
Now, in terms of when redistricting happens, it happens around the census, and I guess it seems so far to be part and parcel of what happens when a political party is in power. They try to ensure that their party stays in power, and part of that process can be redistricting. Isn't this just what the party in power does? They redistrict. They try to keep their party in office.
Yeah, well, that is what they do, and maybe it's fine that they do it. There are some people who think that Wisconsin should embrace a nonpartisan approach to the redrawing of voter boundaries, like the Iowa model, and they have introduced legislation that would accomplish this. It does have a little bit of bipartisan support in the person of Senator Dale Schultz, but it's by and large a Democrat-backed bill to create this new system. Now, the Republicans, of course, control the legislature, and they have not allowed these bills to come to a public hearing where people can testify and say whether they're against them or whether they're for them. And that has occasioned a media campaign. This is launched by a number of papers, editorial boards, and some broadcast outlets' editorial boards throughout the state. They are calling for hearings on the legislation, which would create a nonpartisan redistricting process. Wisconsin State Journal, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, many of the Gannett papers, and some broadcast outlets like Channel 3 in Madison are running editorials with some frequency calling for these hearings to be held. They've also encouraged supporters of redistricting change and of the idea that these bills should have a hearing to contact the legislators who are in a position to make that happen.
Is something that the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism has looked at. What did you find about how much support that motion has gotten?
Well, what I did is I made open records requests of the four legislators who are most in charge of the process. Senator Mary Lasich, who is in charge of the Senate committee where the hearings would be held, Representative Tyler August, the Assembly Committee, and, of course, leaders of those bodies, Representative Robin Voss and Senator Scott Fitzgerald. And I ask for all of the communications they have received on the redistricting issue. And all I was provided with about 350 separate communications. Most of them are emails. There's some record of phone calls and some online contact forms that were provided. The largest number of these came from Senator Lazich. Of the 350 or so individual emails, which I don't think represents all of the emails that were received by these lawmakers. In some cases, I saw emails that were sent to a group of lawmakers but not provided by a particular lawmaker, so there were more than what were provided. But of the ones that I was able to look at, there were five contacts which expressed support for the state's current position on redistricting, and all of the rest, the overwhelming majority, were calling for hearings and critical of the current redistricting process.
Now, based on some popular sentiment like that, a group of eight lobby groups have backed proposed legislation that you mentioned that would put the power of redistricting in the hands of a nonpartisan legislative reference bureau. How viable are those bills looking right now?
That's always been true. If you go back over the last decade and you look at the various proposals over the years to create a nonpartisan entity, it receives uniform support from good government groups, and not a single entity registers in opposition to say this is a bad idea. And yet they go nowhere. These bills don't even get hearings. They don't get votes. They die on the vine, despite having overwhelming support from members of the public who express view on it, overwhelming support from lobby groups who are working to make legislation happen. And that is played out again. There are eight groups register in favor of these bills, no group registered in opposition, no hearing, and no movement, pretty much a position from the leadership in the legislature that this is not going to happen. They do not want this to happen. It will not happen. But despite making that case publicly again and again and again, they apparently haven't persuaded many people to write them and say, way to go. We're happy with you blocking these hearings. We're happy with you keeping the current system of redistricting in place. They're not getting that feedback.
Is it fair to say, though, that because there are more records of people calling for nonpartisan oversight of redistricting instead of in support of the party in power, their redistricting plan, that means there's popular support? People, it seems, tend to voice their opinions when they're unhappy, and when they're happy, they kind of sit back and focus on other things.
Sure, and there's also the fact that the newspaper editorial boards and broadcast editorial boards are encouraging people to make these contacts. But the fact is, you can encourage people to make the contacts and not inspire them to do so. In this case, people are inspired to make the contact and to try to move the legislature to, hold the hearings, allow a debate, advance the issue, at least give it a public airing. And those concerns have not found a receptive audience.
When Democrats ran the legislature, is there evidence that they made an effort to pursue this kind of redistricting that you're talking about now?
No, they blew it from their point of view. Now they're kicking themselves. There was a bill during the period of time when Democrats controlled the legislature as well as the governor's office that would establish a nonpartisan method for redistricting, and it went nowhere. It died. The legislation is having now. The Democrats say, boy, we really made a mistake then. We should have made that happen while we had the chance, because now we see the terrible consequences that come from letting partisans redraw the boundaries. Now, you understand what happened in after the 2010 census was a little bit different from what has happened in the past, because in the past there was divided control of the state legislature at the time that redistricting happened, so no one party was able to just grab the reins and get what they wanted. It ended up in the courts, and it was costly and protracted, but nobody emerged with their vision intact. With the last redistricting process, it did happen that one party was in charge of all of government, and they were able to put their stamp on the redrawn boundaries completely.
Given that there is only, it looks like, slim bipartisan support for this, are you seeing any indications that this is legislation that has a shot, or do you think this is just sort of a hope and a prayer kind of thing right now?
No, I can't gauge the viability of it. I do think that it's becoming, people are becoming increasingly angry at some members of the legislature for not at least allowing this to come to hearing. I saw the Wisconsin State Journal refer to this as cowardly the other day, which are fighting words. I think you I sense a rising sense of anger and frustration on people to, you know, at least let the issue be heard. And that's the case that they've made by the hundreds to the members of the legislature so far without any sign that they're having an impact.
All right. Well, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
That was Bill Leaders, reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism.